The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome in, everyone, to the Bastards World Series Prediction Show. We have our matchup, the LA Dodgers taking on the Toronto Blue Jays starting this Friday night. But before we get there, we're going to take a look back at the NLCS and ALCS matchups to see how exactly those all went down. I am Jason. I'm here with Doug and Terry. So, guys, let's dive right in. We'll start with the NLCS. Bit quicker of a matchup than maybe a lot of people were expecting. The Dodgers sweep the Brewers in all four games, seemingly pretty effortlessly as well. So, Doug, what was your reaction to the Dodgers sweeping the Brewers right out of the playoffs?
Yeah, I would say effortlessly is the right word. They were just impressive. I mean, they're just stacked top to bottom. Their pitching was – they were unhittable. And, you know, they were just – they looked like champions and they were very impressive, and they beat them so bad that people are calling for a salary cap now. And the Brewers just, I thought they'd have a little bit more fight than that after the season they had. They had a very good season, but it just seemed like they knew they just had no shot.
The Brewers are a fun team. I've always been a fan of theirs. I've never been much of a believer in them once October gets here.
Yeah.
And like Doug said, I thought they'd put up more of a fight, but it was just the tale of two realities. One team has all the money, all the resources, the other team doesn't. And it was on full stage, you know. So wasn't much fun. We didn't do a formal show on it. I would be shocked if we didn't all unanimously pick the Dodgers to win it anyway. I would have. And I'm like the Aaron Judge of this crew when it comes to picking postseason stuff. October is not my month. So I think I batted about 500 this postseason, but which is better than previous ones. But it could have been a fun series, but it really wasn't.
Yeah, kind of a dud. And the Brewers to me have always been like a plucky team. That's kind of the only term I can think to describe them. Because every year it's like, you look at their lineup, they got some nice players, especially the young guys, Churio, Terang, Frelick. But they don't have that one big presence in the middle of their lineup. It should be a guy like Christian Yelich, but I think the injuries and his age are starting to catch up with him, and he's not the same guy that he used to be. They thought that adding Rhys Hoskins was going to be the answer there. It wasn't. Contreras, the catcher, is a nice player, but he's also been getting banged up, and it's tough when your best offensive player is supposed to be your catcher. I just think the Dodgers' firepower was just too overwhelming, and they really only had one guy starting, and it was Freddy Peralta. I mean, what was it, three games? They used openers, and they went to the bullpen, so that's not a winning formula against a team like the Dodgers in an NLCS. It just isn't. The Dodgers have too much firepower. So I thought the Brewers would at least put up a fight and maybe like steal a game at home, maybe, or maybe even two. But, I mean, you know, Frelick was a no-show. Yelich was a no-show. Churio didn't really do much. So their offense just kind of pulled the Red Sox and just completely flatlined in the NLCS. And if you do that against a team like the Dodgers, you're completely screwed. So a little bit disappointing. I was hoping for, you know, the Brewers to put a little bit of a scare in the Dodgers because they've had it so easy the last couple of years, but wasn't the case. So Dodgers move on. They cruise to the World Series yet again. And on the American League side, though, we had a much, much more entertaining ALCS. The Blue Jays in a thriller pull it out in Game 7. Doug, your reaction to the Blue Jays making it back to the World Series?
Yeah, real quick though, on the Dodgers, I mean, they also clinched on the greatest game ever played by a baseball player. So, I mean, that was that was the most impressive thing I've ever seen a baseball player do. And I mean, I don't think anyone can top it except him.
Well, Mookie Betts said in the post game that Shohei Ohtani is the Michael Jordan of Major League Baseball. So,
I mean, I always said it would take a lot for me to say someone was better than Barry Bonds, but might
he's
be him.
He's a two-way guy. It took almost 100 years to see another one after Babe Ruth. And so at that rate, you probably never see another one. And I look at Mike Trout from, 2012 through 2019. And I was thinking during that run, we'll probably never see another player as great as this. And Shohei's about there, and his window could be longer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he might not be the fielder, you know, that Trout or Bonds was, but like, it doesn't matter. He's just so electric to watch. And he just, every year he does something that no one's ever done before, every year.
Yeah. It's got a sting, you know, extra for the Brewers, because you've never won a World Series. You're kind of known for just being hard luck losers for most of your franchise history. And now you'll be known as the team that Shohei pitched the best game ever played in baseball against. Like, that's going to be their legacy, not going to the World Series and trying to get there first. It's Shohei shoved the baseball down your throat in the worst way possible. So extra tough for Brewers.
Yeah, he's incredible. But yeah, ALCS, Toronto was electric. That George Springer home run was a great baseball moment that I think, you know, I'll probably remember forever watching. You know, it was like the Joey Bats. Like, I'd never forget, like, that place, when that place gets going, it gets loud. And that was a great moment. And it was a great series. It really was a great series. Toronto coming back to win after going down 2-0. You know, I said, you know, I was never going to count them out, because if there was a team come back from 2-0 this season, it was going to be them. And they did it, man. Vladdy was incredible. And their guys stepped up and they played. That was a really fun series, which was, you know, great to get after getting a dud on the other side. So at least we got one entertaining series.
So two observations. Number one, I think it would have been a more fun matchup, perhaps, if Seattle went there, just for the story, to ride the Cal Raleigh breakout, you know, and it'll be fun to see if he ends up upending Judge to get the MVP on the American League side. But they would have been the more fun team. It would have been the more romantic story for a World Series. But Toronto is the better team, in my opinion, and they have a better chance to beat the Dodgers. And we'll get into the prediction shortly. But man, what a series! And I'll give Seattle this. I mean, the two most exciting series were the two that they were in. You know, the Detroit series was electric. That went all the way through game five. And then this one did as well. And I'm not going to lie, I didn't see the Springer home run live. I fell asleep and woke up hoping Seattle had won it. And Toronto was ahead on the box score. So that's how that went. But I felt pretty good about Seattle probably winning game seven at home, but it just seems like for whatever reason in the MLB playoffs, home field isn't much of an advantage. In the last 7 or 8 years, it just doesn't seem to matter. You go back to that 2019 World Series, the road team won every time. The home team lost every game. So it was a fun series. And to kind of wrap up my take on it, this is the team Toronto has looked like on paper for the last 3 or 4 years in a row. Like, this is what they were capable of. And I think they perhaps coming into this postseason were the most underachieving postseason. They had the most underachieving roster this century, all that talent on that roster. And I think part of the difference this year, Ernie Clement, Addison Barger, just kind of may have helped inject new life into them. Their pitching staff, their rotation has always looked very good on paper, and they finally did it. You know, they finally got to the World Series.
Yeah. I give Toronto a lot of credit because you made a good point about, like, they were supposed to be this team for the last couple of years with, you know, Vladdy emerging, with Bo Bichette emerging. They went out and spent money. Like, they spent money on Gausman, Barrios, this past offseason, spending it on Santander. I know it didn't work out so great season one, but they always spend money. Toronto's always out there being aggressive in both the free agent market and the trade market. They were aggressive at the deadline, going to get Shane Bieber, who, you know, I wanted the Red Sox to get, but they decided not to. And Toronto goes out and gets him, and he helps them win, you know, the ALCS. So yeah, I think Toronto deserves it because they've always been aggressive and their window is now wide open, and this is their shot, right? This is the best shot they're going to get. On the Seattle side, I guess I'm a little surprised at the sort of the failure of their starting rotation, which I always thought was the backbone of that team. But watching George Kirby in that game seven, like, he was antsy as hell. I mean, he kept adjusting his sleeves, you know, the deep breaths. Like, he kind of, I don't know if you guys remember when, after the big trade with the Dodgers and we got Alan Webster back as part of that deal. And he was like this, yeah, he was like this young prospect pitcher that, you know, the media was trying to sell, like, oh, Dodgers are going to regret giving him up. He's got great stuff. And I remember his first start at Fenway Park. He looked like a deer in the headlights. He was so spooked. He had, like, no command. That's what George Kirby looked like. And for a guy like Kirby, who I think we all fawn over as Red Sox fans, like, oh, would love to see him in a Red Sox uniform, that was kind of alarming. Like, he just looked like he was seeing ghosts out there. So it's kind of a bummer for Seattle that they were aggressive at the deadline, like Toronto, maybe more so because they went out and got Naylor and Suarez. They were a good team to start. I mean, over the stretch of the season, they pretty much controlled the West for the most part. And for their starting pitching to be the one that falters was very surprising to me. I thought, if anything, maybe their offense would dry up or the bullpen would falter for him. But for it to be a guy like George Kirby, who is almost an ace in that rotation, very surprising. So good for Toronto. You know, I've kind of been, I don't want to say like anti-Toronto, but I've always just, all season, I haven't believed in them. You know, even when they were on top of our division, I thought, yeah, they're not going to hang on to it. The Yankees are going to take it. Toronto's going to falter. And they just never did. They just keep winning games. George Springer, I keep thinking, he's going to regress. No, he hits a huge homer in game seven to send him to the World Series. Like, he's found the fountain of youth. So, you know, that discussion's closed. Vladdy's doing his thing. They're doing all this without Bo Bichette, too, who's one of their better hitters. So I don't know if he's going to be healthy enough for the World Series. Probably not, is what I'm guessing. But if he is, that's even more firepower for Toronto. So, yeah, good for them. It's, you know, it's been a while for that team, for that franchise, and I think it will be an exciting matchup. So speaking of that, Friday night, it all begins. World Series, Game 1, Toronto, L.A. I don't know if we have pitching matchups yet. I meant to look that up.
And I don't think Toronto has announced, but I think Blake Snell and Yamamoto are game one and two.
Okay. I did see Snell and Yamamoto, yeah. So Toronto's probably still piecing things together. You have to imagine Gausman's going to get one of those two games, and then probably Barrios the other one. So
yeah, you would think.
Yeah, so Toronto, L.A., game one is Friday. So, Doug, I'll start with you. Your thoughts on the World Series, and who do you got?
I got the Dodgers in a sweep. I got I just think it, even how stacked, to be honest, their lineup is, their pitching is what's been dominating. And I just see it continuing. I see Blake Snell dominating again. I see Yamamoto dominating. I just see this team being too good to beat. And I would love to see Toronto stretch it. I would love to see Toronto win. But when it comes down to it, I just can't see their path to victory against this team. They're just too good.
Terry, who do you got?
I've got the Dodgers winning as well. I don't know if it'll be a sweep, but you know, when you look at, you know, the three main areas of each team, you know, the Dodgers have the better lineup. They've got the better rotation and they've got, theoretically, I guess they have the better bullpen as well. So it's really tough to create a path for the Blue Jays to come out on top on this, but I guess it's going to be more competitive than what the Brewers did. I really think the Blue Jays will give a better fight, but if you want to make the case, like going back to 2013 in the ALCS,
okay,
we knew all season long it was going to come down to the Tigers and the Red Sox in the ALCS. And I don't know who you guys would have picked at the time, but me being the realist that I am, I'm like, sure, the Tigers got Max Scherzer, who's about to win the Cy Young. They've got Justin Verlander. They've got Prince Fielder, who hadn't fallen off yet. Miggy Cabrera, Victor Martinez was a very good hitter during that time span.
Yep, I'm like, stacked.
I'm like, they have to have the edge. And I knew it would be a competitive series, but I would have picked Detroit. You know, John Lester and John Lackey aren't even, arguably, they weren't aces. I remember on talk radio back in 2013, is John Lester an ace? And a lot of people just couldn't quite get all the way there. You know, he was, maybe he's an ace on a small market team, but on a big market team, I mean, he just didn't fit that profile. But he was a good postseason pitcher, as was John Lackey. And so I don't know if this is a fair enough comp. You know, can the Blue Jays play the role of the Red Sox while the Dodgers are obviously the Tigers? You know, I have a feeling the gap's wider than that. It's not so closely matched. So, but if you want to try to talk yourself into it, maybe Gausman's going to be Lester. Maybe Berríos or Bieber will be the Lackey guy. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if Gausman can start game one and they can win game one, you know, they can get, then, you know, maybe they can get one more game. They can stretch it to six. And, you know, the crazier things have happened. It wouldn't, you know, the Toronto is a very good team. It wouldn't be the craziest upset ever, I don't think. But they're up against it.
They definitely are. And, you know, I think there is a path for Toronto. It's a very thin path, but there is a path to them winning this. Absolutely. And it starts with the fact that the series is going to start in Toronto, which is on, you know, sure. LA's not used to that. They're used to being able to start at home in their nice, cushy LA ballpark. And Doug, you mentioned it earlier. They're going to have to travel to that hornet's nest of a stadium in the Rogers Center. Like, give Blue Jays fans a lot of credit. That place gets loud. It gets disruptive. I wouldn't trust Blake Snell in that environment. I mean, when he was with the Rays and Padres, I didn't think of him as the guy that could win the big one. He's with LA, so he's got this wagon behind him. But Blake Snell's one of those guys, like, you can get in his head. You absolutely can get in his head.
Vladdy hits a first inning home run. That place gets really loud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I asked about Bichette earlier. I looked it up. He declares that he's ready to go. Now, whether his manager and the team agrees with him is another thing. But he's taking batting practice. He's running the bases. He says he's ready. So if he's back in the lineup too,
that'd be just interesting.
You know, one extra guy that Snell has to worry about. Yeah. So I think Toronto can win game one. Absolutely. If Gausman, you know, delivers and they get in Snell's head, that's a great tone setter. And then from there, you just got to play the matchups, right? It'll be Yamamoto game two, probably Berríos game two for Toronto. That could be a dead heat. I think Yamamoto's the better pitcher, but Berríos has been really good for a long time. You know, Yamamoto, at least in this country, is not pitched in this kind of scenario. So that could be a whole new thing for him too. After that, it's probably Glasnow, you know, and then Otani. So Toronto's, you know, they're still staring down the barrel of like four number one starters. Like, yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But there is a path, especially for them playing at home. So, yeah. You know, maybe if they grab the first two at home, they take that 2-0 series lead going back to LA. Now the Dodgers are kind of scrambling a little bit. Maybe Otani's feeling the pressure because, yeah, he played that, you know, best game ever. But before that, he had kind of a quiet playoffs. Like, yeah. The average was low. He wasn't really making the impact that a lot of people thought he would. Oddly enough, it was Mookie who was kind of carrying the team there for a little bit. So, yeah, and it's – there is a path. Toronto's a very good team. They're not here by accident. So I think they can at least make some noise. I think it'll be competitive. I'm still going to say Dodgers in six, which hurts. I wish that Toronto, you know, I wish I could be the guy and be like, nope, this is, you know, Dodgers going to get knocked off. Toronto's going to be the team to do it. But that LA team is just, they're too good. They're just too damn good. And even if Otani struggles at the plate, you know, a guy like Freddie Freeman could be your World Series MVP. I mean, you know, they have so many guys go down the list. Teoscar. Yeah. Teoscar could do it. Mookie could even do it because he's been playing well lately. It's just, there's too much there. So I do want to get into the World Series MVP discussion too, because I think for me, I've got the Dodgers winning it. I don't think Otani's going to be the MVP. I think he'll do okay. He'll do his job, and you know, but I don't think he's going to play like the best game ever, you know, six times in a row like he did, you know, in the NLCS. I actually think this could be Mookie's time. I think Mookie Betts, he's played well in these playoffs. Yeah, he's healthier now than he was early in the season. Like, I think he's tired of, and even though last year he played well in October, I think he did a lot to squish that narrative. It's still kind of there. And to be honest, hand up, it's a-holes like me that will bring it up and say, yeah, he still sucks in October because whatever, I'm still bitter. But but I think this is the year that he puts that to bed. So I'm going to predict Mookie is my World Series MVP. Doug, what about you?
I mean, I'm going to be boring, but I'm going to go Otani, because especially if I'm picking a sweep, then that means he probably starts on the clincher. You know, maybe he hits a home run and pitches in the clinching game, which would be insane. But I think he will win an MVP because he didn't win it last year, and I think, you know, I think when you're that good and you're that competitive, you always have something to prove, even when you're the best player in the world. And, you know, not winning it last year, I think he's going to want to come into the series. And, you know, he did have a bad series. He had a bad playoffs up until that last game. And then they gave him the CS MVP because they were like, well, that was the sickest thing anyone's ever done. So you won the LCS MVP anyway, but I think he's going to have something to prove, you know, even being the best player anyone's ever seen. And I think he's going to do some things that, you know, that we probably haven't seen ever in a World Series and win the MVP.
So Mookie Betts had a great wild card round against the Reds, went 6-4. No, hang on. Yeah. 6-10. In that series with a few walks. But then he tailed off 4-18 against the Phillies and was only 2-18 against the Brewers. So he's going to have to really come out blazing if he's going to do it. I'm not saying he's not, but I'm actually going to go with Blake Snell. Looking at his postseason numbers, I mean, he's got a 2.58 ERA in the month of October. There was only really one bad series, which was the 2022 NLCS against the Phillies. He gave up four runs across the five innings. So he's only given up two runs in 21 innings this season. And if you go back to, ironically, when he faced the Dodgers in game six of the 2020 World Series, it was highly controversial that Kevin Cash pulled him out of the game. Like, that was the talk for the next, 48 hours. So So I don't know. He just, at least in October, he seems to be okay. I don't know how he'll do in a dome, but
he might get two wins.
He might get two wins. Yeah. And if he just shoves, I could see a case being made, but just look at this real quick. They'll go Snell, Yamamoto, and most likely Ohtani in game three. And you could use Sasaki and Glass now in long relief in any one of those games. And then just do a bullpen game. That way you don't have to burn those two long relief guys. And I just, it's hard to roadmap the Blue Jays getting there. Yeah. But, and the other thing too is, the Dodgers have done it, you know, right. they know how to do it. They've done it before. So they're not, the moment will not be too big for them. So, you know I tried to give a comp that I thought could be relevant, but the more I sit here, this is David versus Goliath.
Yeah.
And all of North America, I'm not even saying the United States, because it's a Canadian team in there. And I bet even the Mexicans below the border are going to be rooting. Well, I shouldn't say that, because
no, Mexicans, you know, love the Dodgers.
Yeah, because Southern California is, you know, that's another home, I guess. So I don't know, but it's just, I hope it's a fun series.
Yeah, me too.
And, you know, you don't want the Dodgers to win with that roster. You know, it's just, I hate that, but you know, but maybe it'll make teams like the Red Sox say, you know what, we got to spend.
And that's two teams in our division, back-to-back World Series trips. So maybe that will do something for them too.
Yeah.
Yeah. The hope is that if the Dodgers do win, that the Red Sox look at it and say, well, okay, Toronto didn't get it done, but you know, we were right there with Toronto. We were pretty close all year. And maybe if we just add a couple of guys here and there, add a number two starter, make a big trade, we could be there. And then who knows? Once you're in the World Series, who knows? It's seven games. It's game by game at that point. So that's what you have to hope. Because the problem is, the narrative that's going to come out is, oh, well, you know, of course the Dodgers won because they have more money than everybody else. But it's really not that. It's that they are willing to spend the money that they have. Because I look at the Brewers and, like, how embarrassing is it that you get swept out of the NLCS and then days later you go, yeah, we'll take calls on our one good starting pitcher, Freddy Peralta. Yeah, we're willing to trade him. It's like, if I'm Jackson Churio or, like, if I'm a Brewers fan, I'm sitting there going, what's the point then? Like, you know, we get to the NLCS, we were a good team all year, and we lose to a generational team, and now it's like, rather than trying to spend money to get right back at them, you want to start dumping talent. Like, that's what people should be annoyed about. You can be annoyed at the Dodgers. I am too. I'm Dodgers'd out. I'm sick of them. They are the Kansas City Chiefs of the MLB. I get it. They're annoying. But it's the other teams that have the money to spend that don't. You know, the Brewers, a lot of these mid-market teams that cry poor when really their revenue streams would tell you otherwise. The Red Sox, you know, John Henry saying, oh, well, you know, we just can't go over that luxury tax. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And if you do, you might be in the World Series. So, you know, I would love for Toronto to win. I think the Dodgers will win. And I just hope that it sends a message to other teams in the league that you've got to spend. Because if you spend and you build a good roster, then more free agents and more, you know, really good talented guys are going to want to go play for you. Right now, they don't, because who's going to want to go play for the Brewers now? You just said you'd trade your best starting pitcher after losing in the NLCS. Screw that. I'll go play for the Dodgers. I'll be in the World Series every year. That's the problem. So I just hope that's the case. And one final thing about Toronto I want to bring up is keep an eye on Vlad Guerrero Jr. this series, because this is probably his biggest, it's definitely his biggest test in terms of being a superstar in the league, because he's been a darling there in Toronto. Right, they drafted him, developed him. He came up, was a stud. He signs the big mega deal instead of going somewhere else. Toronto fans love him. If he chokes in this series, if he goes, like, you know, like Terry mentioned with Mookie, like a 2-for-18 or something, and doesn't get it done, then he's going to start hearing it. Then he joins the conversation with Aaron Judge. Like, yeah, you're a generational star, and we're glad we have you, but are we ever going to win with you? And sure, it's his first trip, you know, so maybe it won't be as bad, but that, you know, now that Toronto's window's open, he's going to start hearing that if he doesn't perform. So it's going to be a big World Series for him as well.
I think he's going to perform. I think he's kind of got the clutch gene for the big moment. So,
yeah.
You know,
and he's had a good playoffs.
You know, that's a great pitching staff he's going to be up against. So, you know, I don't know if I'll hold it against him, but, here's a funny thing that I just thought of. So, you know, who's going to get a ring this year is, if the Dodgers win, will be Dustin May. Breslow dives into their dumpster, pulls him out, and he's going to get a ring. And I'm just like, part of me hopes he, I don't know, ends up on the team and then shows up to spring training wearing the ring.
He's such a good job if he does.
Yeah. Hey, Brez, how you doing? Yeah. Oh, let me take this ring off. I don't want to damage it in batting practice.
I'm here to compete for the number 5 spot. Here's my ring, by the way.
Yeah. Sorry, y'all, a bunch of losers.
Yeah, I'm a world champion.
Yeah. Jeez. Actually, would he have two?
Yeah, he was on it last year, right?
Yeah, so he had two. Yeah. Yeah, two-time winner. Yeah.
Yeah, from the couch.
Yeah. Man, what a heist. Yeah. Well, either way, I agree with you guys. I think it'll be a fun series regardless, even if it is Dodgers in 6, whatever. I don't think it's going to be as boring as the NLCS was. Toronto's going to put up a good fight. And who knows? There is that path we talked about. They could make this very, very interesting. So
I could see even a sweep being four exciting games.
Yeah, it could be four very close games, competitive. Yeah, absolutely. So I think it'll be fun. And again, game one is Friday night. They're going to go Friday, Saturday, Monday, I think, to start out. So should be a good weekend of baseball. Everyone enjoy the World Series. You know, be the last bit of baseball we get for a long while. So hopefully it's good. Hopefully it's competitive. And we will talk to you guys after the World Series is concluded. So everyone have a good weekend. Enjoy the baseball. We'll talk to you later. Take care.